Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Senator John Kerry will resign his seat on Friday. Then he will head down Capitol Hill over to Foggy Bottom to become the country's 68th Secretary of State.
That job greets Kerry on day one with significant challenges. Egypt, Libya, Syria, Mali, all in flames. Then there's also Russia, China, and the U.S. decision to tilt towards Asia while balancing alliances and economic ties with the European Union. So joining us now to talk a little bit about what challenges face a soon-to-be Secretary John Kerry is Nicholas Burns. He was Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs between 2005 and 2008, and before that, he was the permanent representative to NATO. He is now a professor at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Nicholas Burns, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much.
So we heard an impassioned and at times emotional speech there from Senator Kerry. He got choked up when he mentioned that he had been standing at the desk that once belonged to John F. Kennedy and, of course, a former Senator Ted Kennedy. But I was really taken by a part of his speech where he pointed towards the Senate and said that his credibility as a diplomat on behalf of the United States around the world is dependent on what happens in Washington, essentially the political climate and fixing the House and Senate in Washington. What did you make of that?
I thought it was an extraordinary speech, and in many ways, of course, a bittersweet sweet speech for him because he's leaving the Senate after 29 years. And I was struck also by that same point. He turned to the Senate and said, you know, Washington needs to work better if the United States is going to be strong overseas. And we've heard this theme before from him at his confirmation hearing last week. American power in the world rests more than anything else on our economic health. Mm-hmm. And if the Senate and House, Democrats and Republicans, can't get together to make some fundamental compromises on taxation, on regulation, on Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, then we're not going to be able to have the kind of strong America that we have been accustomed to for the last 60 or 70 years as the leading world power. It's the most important metric of our power. And I think Senator Kerry, soon to be Secretary of State John Kerry, is exactly right to make that point.
Well, in fact, he made it several times. I mean, he says the world keeps turning, the Senate can't afford to stand still, and that the self-inflicted wounds that Washington is putting upon America, it reduces America's standing in the world. So do you think this is something that as he moves forward into some very regions that are currently up in flames, Egypt, the Middle East, not to mention Afghanistan, Syria, that this will sort of be a problem that he has to deal with while at the same time doing his diplomatic duties?
I think it's a major challenge for President Obama's administration and certainly for Secretary Kerry, because we are the leading global power, but it takes a substantial amount of funds to fully fund our diplomacy and our military, despite the fact that we'll be taking nearly $500 billion out of the defense budget over the next 10 years, which is a good thing. We can afford that, but we probably can't afford much more. And countries do look for us to leadership, and it helps our country to be competitive overseas. So I think that is a central point. The other thing I'd say is Secretary Kerry is going to face one of the most difficult, daunting agendas that any Secretary of State has faced, mm-hmm. I think, in our lifetimes. If you look at the problems, the multiple challenges we face in the Middle East, the rise of China and East Asia, the fact that we're still in a war in Afghanistan, we still have well over 50,000 troops there, we need to bring them home. So this is going to be a consequential time to be Secretary of State. I think he's an outstanding selection by President Obama. I think he's going to be a great Secretary of State.
Nicholas Burns was the Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs from 2005 to 2008. He's now a professor at Harvard's John F. Kennedy School of Government. Mr. Burns, thank you so much for riding along with us, listening to soon-to-be Secretary of State John Kerry, and thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
Well, Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick has appointed his former chief of staff, William Mo Cohen, to serve as the state's interim U.S. senator now that Senator John Kerry will be leaving the Senate after 29 years on Friday.
Mo Cohen will serve until voters select a new senator in a special election in June. In announcing his pick, Governor Patrick called Cohen a highly respected public citizen.
Mo is a highly respected public citizen. his service on the front lines in our efforts to manage through the worst economy in 80 years and build a better and stronger Commonwealth for the next generation has given him an intimate understanding of the issues we face. In every step, he has brought preparation and clarity of purpose. And it was a private fact, now known publicly, thanks to the Lieutenant Governor, that he also brought cool.
Mo Cohen is from North Carolina and came to Massachusetts in the early 90s to attend law school. In accepting the governor's interim appointment, he said he would not run to fill the Senate seat permanently.
This is going to be a very short political career. I am not running for office. I am not a candidate for public service at any time today or in the future.
Joining us now is Boston Globe State House reporter Michael Levinson, who attended today's announcement and has written about Mo Cohen. And Michael, first of all, tell us a little bit more about why the governor picked Cohen for this position. What do we know about that?
Sure. I think the governor has a close personal bond with Cohen and sees in him something of his own story. As you mentioned, Mo grew up in North Carolina, the son of a seamstress, and his father died young. Then was the first in his high school to go on to Duke, came to Boston, became a highly respected litigator at a politically connected law firm, and sort of rose through the ranks and has a real passion for trying to diversify the law community in Boston. He helped Governor Mitt Romney recruit lawyers of color to become judges. And those are particular passions of Patrick's as well.
Mm. Now, in choosing Mo Cohen, Patrick rejected, among other folks, former Congressman Barney Frank, who had requested the job, if not actually campaigned for it. What do you think was the governor's sort of calculation in choosing, in particular, Mo Cohen over someone like Frank?
I think it's interesting in that he picked somebody who does not have legislative or political experience, but who is a friend. And it says to me that he's looking for someone just to keep that seat, keep that office that Kerry's held running, sort of vote the way the governor would like him to vote, but not really create waves or make his own mark in the 4 or 5 months that he's going to be in that office. If you have a Barney Frank or Vicky Kennedy in that seat, someone who has star power, who has deep connections in Washington, you could really see them break out and try to do their own things, cut their own path in D.C. With Mo, he's going to have somebody with a low profile, a trusted aide who will keep things a little bit more on an even keel.
Sure. So with John Kerry en route to the State Department and Mo Cohen set to take his place temporarily, Massachusetts now looks forward to a special election. And Michael Levinson, stand by. I want to introduce John Carroll, journalism professor at Boston University and a regular contributor to Radio Boston. And thanks for coming in, John.
Good to be here.
So, gentlemen, let's talk. I want to talk to you both about this race. A primary is set for April 30th. U.S. Congressman Ed Markey is the only high-profile Democrat in the race so far. His colleague, Congressman Stephen Lynch from South Boston, is expected to say whether or not he'll jump into the race tomorrow. What kind of a contest would that be among the Democrats? Let me start with you, John.
It's going to be an interesting one. It's one that the Democratic establishment tries to avoid, has been working hard to avoid. They look back at 2010 at the primary that produced Martha Coakley as the candidate in the special election, and they look at that as expensive, damaging, and I think they would rather rally behind Ed Markey. Now, Ed Markey has particular advantages over Stephen Lynch. He's got about 4 times as much money as Stephen Lynch. He's also very much a traditional Democrat. He's going to appeal to the liberal voters who turn out in primaries. The fact that the Democratic establishment has solidified behind him actually may be something that his opponent could use against him in the general. It certainly didn't help with Martha Coakley that the Democratic establishment was so solidly behind her. And in the end, it seemed to work to her disadvantage to some degree.
Yeah, and Michael, what do you think? I mean, the fact that Ed Markey is sort of relatively well-financed at this point, that's money. Politics is always about money, but in a compressed election like this, it's even more important, I guess.
Yes, and I think it will be interesting a real battle between somebody who is the anointed favorite of the Democratic establishment, and now you have somebody else, a colleague, coming in as sort of the scrappy outsider. You know, he's got Lynch has a strong union backing that can be significant in a primary, but he also has some more conservative positions that could be problematic for him. He's pro-life. And that can create problems in a Democratic primary where most of the voters are solidly in favor of abortion rights. And Markey is in favor of abortion rights. I think you'll see social issues bubble up. And, you know, this could be divisive. This could be expensive. And that is, you know, definitely something that the Democratic Party wanted to avoid.
Well, we have to wrap this up literally in just 30 seconds, but I don't want to go away without jumping quickly to the Republican side, where the focus is entirely on former Senator Scott Brown and the question, will he or won't he? What do you think, John Carroll?
I think he will. I think he looks at Ed Markey in particular as a candidate who he can beat. And right now he has a 22-point lead in the only poll we've seen. So I think that would build a lot of confidence in the Brown camp.
John Carroll, BU journalism professor and blogger at CampaignOutsider.com, and Michael Levinson, State House reporter at the Boston Globe. Thank you both, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll speak with Boston Mayor's Tom Menino following his rousing State of the City address last night. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.